And welcome back to episode 119 of the Weekly Tech Rant with me, Jay.
And me, Carl.
Oh, yes. I nearly said 120 there. I can't count. That's the problem.
You're ahead of yourself.
I was slightly. I was looking at the show notes. That was a problem. It was like, well, no, oh, no, no, it's definitely 119. But yes, welcome back then to this week's episode where we are going to talk CES, or the Consumer Electronics Show, which is the, yep. I guess, the start of the tech year, isn't it? You know, over in Vegas.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. Lots of big announcements. Obviously, we won't see people like Apple there, but all your consumer, Samsung, Razer, all the computer manufacturers, Acer, Asus, HP, those kind of people will all be there.
They did indeed. Plus, pretty much any inventor under the sun who wants to try and flog some new idea, isn't it, as well?
Yep. There's been some interesting ones.
There has indeed. There has indeed. So we're going to bring you a lineup of some of the, I guess, oh, yeah, a couple of the big stories, I guess, you know, in there, yep, as well, some of the kind of good tech, but also some of the, yeah, slightly more odd tech as well. So alongside that, we've got also the rumor mill this week is brimming, isn't it? Absolutely brimming this week.
We're
going to talk, and it's Apple related, but it's all related. Well, not all of it, but the result of it is going to be around the new AR VR headset, which, well, seems to be getting closer and closer by the day, doesn't it?
And caused several repercussions.
Yes, there is like throwing a stone into a pond, there are many ripples.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, let's do that. So let's get back on track then this week then with CES 2023.
Yeah.
Do you know what? You know when you read something and it doesn't look right and you're like, yeah, does that sound right? Yeah, I still can't believe we're 23 years into the 21st century.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, so yes, what have you got, Nicole? So give us your intro into what's been going on, obviously, and what the kind of the highlights here.
Yeah, so I've grabbed a number of them, five or six different bits and pieces to talk about, and I'll keep them brief, but there are things that kind of caught my eye for one reason or the other. I think so. The first one was PCI Express Gen 5 SSDs. So we've been waiting a while for these, and we finally started to see these at the light of day at CES. And boy, are they fast. I mean, I'm still running a Gen 3, and yeah. So I think ADATA and MSI announced were showing their pre-production versions, but they're apparently due out shortly. So okay. ADATA are using a Silicon Motion controller, but they are claiming 14 gigabytes a second on the reads and 12 gigabytes a second on writes. Yeah, along with 2 million read-write IOPS.
Wow. And is that $2 million? Because, you know,
there was surprise, no pricing. What I can tell you is it was both of them actually had some very, very beefy heat sinks on them. So I'm guessing, I guess these things are not just really fast, really hot as well. I mean, that was the fastest one I saw. The MSI was slightly slower, but only slightly. I mean, this was using a Fission controller, right. But it's still claiming 12 gigs a second read, 10 gig write. The IOPS was slightly slower at 1.5 million read IOPS and 2 million write IOPS, but that's no slouch.
That's crazy, isn't it? I don't get me wrong. I mean, I would love some storage like that. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Unbelievable. But on the other hand, you're like, that is just one piece of the puzzle, isn't it? You need the rest of the infrastructure on that machine
to take advantage of that.
Otherwise, it's like having, you know, a Ferrari that you drive to the supermarket.
But it is mind-boggling. We'd spent, I don't know, how many years of our lives with computers, 20 years of the hard drive, the storage being the slowest part, yeah, by a mile, with hard
always,
drives, you know.
Always.
And now, even the first SSDs, I think we were getting, what, 300 or 400 megs a second, which was mind-blowing at that time compared to a hard drive speed. But now it's insane.
You have to kind of think to yourself, where is this going? Because for a long time, obviously, the NVMe drives that we've had, you know, the current generation, if you will, have been very fast, haven't they? You know, they have been.
Yeah, I think mine does probably, I think 3 gigabytes a second read and write or somewhere around that,
which
that's plenty fast enough.
I was going to say, in this day and age, you know, unless you are doing heavy database reads and you're doing, you know, I guess, rapid data analysis, for the majority of users,
consumer stuff. You're probably, you know, Yeah, because I'm a consumer, they're not going to see a difference between 14 gig a second and what's the Gen 4s are doing, what, 6 or 7, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean,
I doubt they're even using that. The IOPS might matter because that's that smaller files, not the streaming size, it's the smaller files, random read IO stuff. So, yeah, the faster we can get that, the more snappy it will seem. But that pure streaming, that consecutive read write, I don't think we'd even notice.
No, I mean, the only thing I can think of is if you were trying to download and write to a disk at the same speed. So if you know, on these few people who have got on those, what's that, Google Fiber connections.
Or 10 gig connections, yeah.
Yeah, and you're trying to download and...
But that's not even going to do it, because a 10 gig connection, writing to... Obviously, if I'm copying something between the flash array on my NAS and my other NAS using flash, I can saturate the 10 gig, but that's only writing it just over a gigabyte a second. So this does 14. So we're talking 100 gig network connections.
Yeah, look, I mean, I remember the days... And
I can't afford that.
I won't say where I worked, but it was the days when a gig connection became... Not gig, sorry, 100 meg connection was the fastest. And it was an educational institution. And we'd had these, specific links come in because they were, made available. And we had 100 meg connection asynchronous between, and I remember we were like, wow, should we try downloading stuff on this? And it was like, we managed to, you could saturate that quickly because obviously you couldn't write as far, with classic spinning Rust.
Storage was the killer.
And the storage, and that was onto the servers back then as well. That just was, you couldn't do it.
You were lucky. I remember my first tech job, dual ISDN, was the pinnacle. Coming from home where I had a 28.8K modem, dual ISDN at 128. Whew!
I don't know, that was fast. You're right. I mean, to think now where storage is going, it is mind-boggling, isn't it, of how fast. Yeah. And that, to a degree, within that, that's not outside the realms of, consumer storage, is it really? In fairness, we're not talking high-end here storage arrays for
no, this is a single NVMe drive, so I don't know what they're going to be. A couple hundred quid, I imagine, starting price for a 512 or something, but yeah. But then of course you need the PCI Express 5 motherboard to go with it, and you need the rest of the stuff to fully utilize that. But yeah, having that in consumer reach is just crazy.
Wow. Well, I mean, for CES, you got to admit, that was a pretty good opener, I feel.
It was. Here's one. I was going to dismiss it until I read further into it. It's another soundbar, okay?
Okay.
But bear with me, okay? So it's by Razer. So, of course, there's so much RGB. It's unbelievable in it, yeah? But that's not the bit that caught my eye.
Or is it a light bar?
It's both. But its promise is AI-powered head tracking to provide audio beamforming. So basically, it uses an array of IR sensors. They're used to track your head, but more importantly, your ears in the room in 3D space. It then processes using a local neural network engine and adjusts the spatial audio on the fly so that basically wherever you move your head, it's always in the sweet spot.
Okay, all right.
That was quite good.
Given how sophisticated a lot of these soundbars are today, in to a degree of beamforming themselves, aren't they?
You know,
but that takes it to a whole new level.
And I expect it to be fairly decent. Obviously, Razer bought THX, didn't they?
Yes, they did, didn't they? Yeah,
they did. And they're using that technology. So obviously, it's a soundbar. It's got 5 2-inch speakers in it. It's got a separate sub. So you haven't got physical speakers, so they're going to be using the virtual surround sound, but adjusting it fires to. But from one of the articles I was reading, he had it about 3 weeks in his house, pre-CES as a test, and he said it was really, really good. It was spot on about, you always felt like you were in the sweet spot.
That's a bit like spatial audio with the AirPods, from Apple.
Yeah, just on a bigger scale.
Exactly, a much bigger scale. I have to say, though, I mean, you mentioned about THX then. Do you remember those? You used to have the virtual surround sound and you had it on your audio cards and you could get it to fire. I remember spending a lot of money and buying a 7.1 surround sound system for my PC.
Wires
everywhere.
was it the 5.1 Cambridge Soundworks THX?
Oh, yeah, one of the, yeah.
Certified.
Yeah.
And I got that because I bought my first PC and there was DVDs had just come out, hadn't they?
Yeah.
But on a PC, your graphics card couldn't decode it. You needed a separate MPEG-2 hardware playback card. So I had one of those, a DVD, and a 5.1 surrounding my bed. It was epic.
My decent Sound Blaster card, you know, that had all of the IO ports.
Yeah, that was it. Oh, yeah. I remember hearing my first surround sound. I think it was Armageddon.
Oh, God.
And I had it off the Blu-ray on the big 27-inch chunky CRT. And the asteroid comes from behind over the top of you, you know, because you're on the moon or the video's on the point of view of the moon. Wow. Yeah, I was blown away by it.
It's quite good. It is quite good there. But yes, that was far too much cabling going on there, I have to say.
Yeah. Just a tad. Just a tad.
I'll tell you what, on the view, on that point, on the view of, just to kind of give you a balanced one. So then on the view of, you know, you've got your surround sound there, yeah?
Yep.
You know, so watching a film. How about smell?
Is this Smell-O-Vision?
Not quite. So this is the aptly named Aroma Shooter.
Aroma Shooter? Okay.
Yes. So this is a... This is a tech sort of appendage that you wear. You know those headphones you could get that you wear
appendage,
around
your neck? Appendage, I'm worried now. Yeah. I know the ones that go around the back of your neck to the front. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So imagine that sort of bit that goes around the back of your neck that then has two arms that sort of positioned under your chin area. And in those chin area, they have solid state, what they call cartridges, that have a variety of different flavors, sort of smells, etc. in there. And basically, this works the same way as one of those plug-in, you know, diffuser things that you get in your house, you know.
Yeah.
The difference is here that, that this works on what it translates the smell from what you're watching on the screen. So the same way, you know, your hue lights change depending on that. Now you get smells coming out that integrate, as they say, into your favorite movies.
Okay. This could be very interesting. Was there a price? How much would we have to pay for this one?
So there isn't a price yet. At least I didn't see one.
See one, right, okay.
When I was taking notes. Oh, no, tell a lie. I've just had a quick look. There is now a price. So the Aroma Shooter is what was it, just shy of a grand.
Whoa. I mean, that soundbar was only $400.
And you get six cartridges, and set cartridges can be bought separately for $54, apparently. They're also going to be doing an AR-VR version called the Aroma Shooter Wearable, which is going to have a crowdfunding very soon. But apparently they built it into games as well. So not just films, it can do games. And it's not liquid or gas. It's solid, you know, whatever they're using.
Right, okay.
It's solid. So
they're heating solid. Some solid element up, are they?
Clearly are, yeah. But
I can imagine in VR, in DCS, and I crash and burn, I can smell flesh burning.
But apparently...
I mean, it would add to it.
Well, yeah, so apparently there's already a community that have created loads of
smells,
custom smells. I can't believe I'm saying this. And apparently, I have one of the quotes I read because I thought it was brilliant. That somebody's quoted that there's a Resident Evil 4 remake trailer, you know, the one that's come out recently.
Yep.
That apparently that they've created one that smells like wet earth and Spanish sage.
And Spanish sage, because why not?
Why not? Yeah. So it is. Wow. Basically, it's some kind of smell collar, I think is probably the way to describe it. Well, I thought I would temper your soundbar with a Aroma Shooter.
Okay. So we've got the sound, we've got the smell. Now we need some vision, don't we?
Go on,
okay.
What
have you
got?
So Samson have been busy, and they have brought out some spectacular displays. Okay, first they are firing shots across the bow of Apple. Especially its studio display. So they've just announced what they're calling the Viewfinity S9. Okay, it's basically a 27-inch 5K panel, just like the studio display. 99% DCI P3 color gamut, built-in color calibration engine, USB Thunderbolt 4, matte display finish. It's even got Samsung's smart hub, so you can use it as a TV, watch your Netflix. I think it's got xCloud built into it as well.
Wow.
No pricing yet. But I'm going to go on a limb here and say it's not going to be as expensive as the £1,500 plus studio display.
No, I don't think it's far off it, but it's close, isn't it? I think I would say it's close.
Oh, and it looks very similar to the studio display.
Yes,
I'm not saying they've kind of copied it, but...
But I did see a picture of it, and I have to say, I think if there was no branding, nothing, and you did a quick take, you could easily mistake it
for an Apple device. Yeah, yeah. Okay, but yeah. Oh, and sorry, it's also got a 4K webcam built in, unlike Apple display.
Yeah, well, but it was a bit similar to that Dell one we saw the other day. Do you remember that 6K yep. Dell one that we talked about offline, I should add. The Dell have built one, haven't they? So, yeah, I mean, why not? Cameras now are... It's a good idea to bundle it in because you want so much video conferencing going on. Okay, all right.
Oh, exactly. The other one was the one which me and you both want, but I don't think I've got a desk big enough for it, is the newly announced Odyssey Neo G9. This one's... coming in at 57 inches.
Of course.
Of course. Now, this is actually the one that AMD were teasing at their RDNA 3 event as being the first 8K ultra-wide. That's not technically true. It's not 7680 by 4320. It's, in fact, two 4K side-by-side. So it's 7680 by 2160. Still, that is a lot of pixels to be pushing.
It is, isn't it? And do you know what? I'm not really bought into 8K at all at the minute. I just think it's complete. And obviously, I'm not saying 8K isn't fallacy. We know 8K does exist. But what I mean is, to be fair, 4K still isn't really mainstream, is it? Realistically speaking. So 8K is kind of, it's great to have. But the reality is you're always going to be downsizing. You're not going to be upscaling to... Well, sorry, you're going to be upscaling to 8K. You're not going to have any real true native content because nothing's pushing it out, realistically.
No, exactly. I mean,
it's nice to have. Did you see, and I wonder if it's in your notes, I'm not sure, but did you see the LG 45-inch, the LG 240Hz Ultra Gear 45 GR95QE curved monitor?
I did not, no.
So this is LG's latest gaming monitor, 45 inches, 21.9 display ratio.
It is ultra wide, yep.
And it has a 98.5% DCI 3P wide color gamut, 98.5. Okay. That's practically all colors, isn't it?
That's pretty much,
1.5:1 contrast ratio. But
what's it using? Is it OLED or...?
OLED. So it's got nice deep colors, 0.3 of a millisecond response time, and it has 240Hz refresh rate. Stunning. I mean, there's no tearing. Some of the videos I saw, ultra responsive, but the colors is just amazing. It's cheap though. It will set you back $1,700 on that.
Yeah, there was no price for the Samsung either. I'm gonna guess it's not cheap. Yeah, looked very, very nice. I think the LG's I could probably get on my desk.
I would, 45 inch LG curved monitor. I mean, if you want to send one for review, LG, we will test that thing till
thinking though, that resolution for that Samsung, that would be ideal for work. The amount of screens I could get or windows I could get on that screen would be great. I couldn't power it for gaming though.
Well, I was also going to say, you could have... Yeah, I know where you're coming from. There'd be so many little windows, you wouldn't be able to actually read what's in them.
I'd put the old DPI setting on Windows up to 150. Yeah, couldn't leave it as native 100%, could I?
No, yeah. And then, obviously, at that point, then you're like, oh, I've still only split the screen four ways because I can only read it that way. But it is impressive, though, I have to say. There is no doubt about that. That is, a stunning monitor. And those Odyssey range, let's be fair, We've been wanting one of those for a while, haven't we? Eventually.
Yeah, eventually. Maybe. One day. Did you see some of the weird laptops?
I did see a couple of them, yes.
Do you see the Lenovo's, what's it called? The Yogi, not Yogi, Yoga Book, isn't it? The Yogi Book 9i. The Yoga Book, sorry. That's the one.
No, I'd rather it be called the Yogi. Did you see the Yogi Bear? Yes, I did.
Yogi Bear. Yogi Book. That's the one with the dual displays.
That was it, isn't it? The Yogi Book 9i, as you say, flip over and it's e-ink, isn't it, on one side? Colour e-ink.
Is it? Oh, it's not the one I was looking at.
That was the ThinkBook Twist, sorry.
It was.
Yes.
No, this one's a pair of 13.3-inch 2.8K OLED screens stacked on top of each other.
That's right. And it had, it kind of, it, well, I saw a picture of somebody holding it, and it just reminded me of that Microsoft Surface Duo, but like supersized.
Yeah, it was like that. And you know, the keyboard wasn't attached. It was a Bluetooth keyboard. It came with like a kickstand, so you could either have it as the two horizontal stacked on each other, or just turn it over and have two verticals side by side.
Look, touchscreen laptops, I have a real problem with.
Yeah, got several. I don't ever touch the screen.
I think it is the most overrated piece of tech known to man.
Mm.
Because when you think about your laptop, how many workflows realistically do you need to stick your finger on the screen for?
None. I mean, I've had several Surface Pros, and actually, that's probably the only ones I actually ever used a touch screen, but not when I had the keyboard attached. No. When I was using it as a laptop, no, because hovering your hand in space trying to do stuff on the screen just isn't ergonomic. When I took the keyboard off, I had a pen, or I was drawing or doodling with OneNote, then yeah, that made sense.
And the other thing is, right, how dirty is that screen going to get?
Oh, filthy. It was a finger magnet.
I mean, that you're telling me that Yogi Book, that Yogi Bear is not going to be...
Yogi Book.
You're going to be cleaning that thing every 20 seconds because it's going to be filthy. I mean, I look at my laptop, right, and I don't touch the screen, but the screen is filthy anyway. And I think, you know, to kind of quickly flip for a second, I know it's not in the rumor mill this week, but, you know, the rumored touchscreen Mac that Apple have been talking about.
Oh, yes, yes, definitely.
I just want to shoot that down before we get any further. You know, Apple are probably what, the only mainstream PC manufacturer who do not make a touchscreen laptop at this stage in the game, aren't they? And
although I do argue the iPad Pro is like a laptop.
Yeah, but it's, but yeah, it's not. But, yeah. But it's not. But what I'm getting at is Apple have got a point here. There's no, you know, most 99.9999999 things you do on a laptop of any flavor do not require you to touch a screen. And especially given today, most, as you were just saying yourself, like with Windows there, you know, the ratio, you know, 150%.
Yeah.
You know, so the buttons are so small, or the UIs are so small, unless you've got the fingers of an elf, it's not going to work, is it? Sorry.
Sure, I mean, Windows, when you go to touchscreen mode, it does make everything larger, easier. I mean,
don't give me Windows 8 Metro.
I hated Metro. I meant 10 and 11, not 8. 8 was...
To get back on track, yeah, sorry. So the other one was the Lenovo ThinkBook Twist.
Right.
Which has a twistable display that has a classic OLED, color OLED one side, and the other is a color e-ink.
Interesting.
And now that I can buy into.
Yeah.
Because that I can see a lot of usage. Given the fact, you know, at the moment, me personally, where I'm kind of thinking research about, you know, these remarkable e-ink notepads. That would be perfect, because actually that would be take away the distractions of, you know, being able to having like Windows, whatever. You could read your PDFs or your books. You could, I'm guessing you might be able to make notes. I don't know. But that's kind of, I'm more there for hit for that than I am the Yogi Bear.
The Yogi Bear book. Yep.
But there was another one, wasn't there? There was another, I did see another laptop from, was it Asus?
Right.
Who have got the Pro Art Studio.
Is that the 16-inch one? I'm sure I saw something about on video.
So this is the one where this is going to die a death very quickly, because this is the Glasses-free 3D screen.
That one. I know what I mean. Yeah, apparently it's very good. The reports I'd seen, the actual 3D is very, very convincing.
But we had this discussion a little while ago. Do you remember we talking about 3D TVs, and 3D, what realistically, when are you going to use it?
But that range is aimed at professional creators, isn't it? So if you were using it for CAD, then I could see it being beneficial.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a hell of a machine. You can spec one of those babies up to 64 gig of RAM, DDR5 RAM, 2 terabytes of PCIe 4 SSDs, and they've got Thunderbolt 4, they've got all the other bells and whistles you want, you know, full Intel range. The current ones, I think the one that they demoed, the ProArt Studio, has a 3.2K OLED display with a 120 refresh rate. It's got an i9-3980HX.
That's the one that's like 24 cores or something, isn't it?
Yeah, and they've got it's got a 40 series inside it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's our professional laptop, isn't it?
Yeah. The one I mentioned about the specs. Sorry, the one that was the Vivo Book, not the Studio Pro. Sorry, that had the 64 gig. I need to make sure my notes are in better order. but yeah, I was just blown. I was like, that is absurd. It was the fact that it had, you know, no glasses needed for 3D. I was like, really? We're still doing this in 2023? You know, like,
yes, we are.
But yeah, sorry. What else have you got?
Wow. Okay. This is the most interesting one for me. I'm going to apologize because I honestly never thought that we were talking about urine on the show.
I know what this is. Go on.
this has to be one of the weirdest gadgets that come out of CES in a long time. So it's by a company called Withings. They do a lot of the health trackers, smart scales, watches, heart pace monitors, that kind of stuff. Basically, they announced the product is called U-Scan, and it's a body fluid analysis device, okay? It basically works by attaching it to your toilet bowl, and it catches a small sample of fluid, which is what they're calling it, when you go to the toilet, obviously. And basically, it analyzes this and pushes the results to an app on your phone. And it's got these different interchangeable cartridges. I'm not sure I want to change these. I might have to wear rubber gloves. But the first two they've announced are one called NutriBalance, and basically it checks and reports back on the specific gravity for the water balance, the pH for protein vegetable balance, ketones for energy metabolism, and vitamin C levels. And then they also have another one called the Cycle Sync, which obviously, as you guessed, to do with your menstrual cycle. About prediction, about ovulation, etc. Again, it does that water gravity thing, pH for protein vegetable balance, as well as LH, which is something to do with the menstrual cycle and the hormones that are released.
Because I did have a read about this, I have to say.
Yeah.
Did you see with the cycle one, the criteria which you have to meet for it to better work?
No, I did not see the criteria.
So the criteria is as follows. Menstrual cycle between 21 and 35 days. Right. You are not under the age of 18. You are not on hormonal treatments such as birth control, fertility treatment, or hormonal. You have been not diagnosed with polycystic ovary syndrome. Right. You are not currently or recently pregnant in the last 3 months. You are not breastfeeding or have breastfeed recently in the last 3 months. And you are not experiencing menopausal symptoms such as hot flushes. I'm pretty sure that narrows it down to a very small percentage of people who can use that.
That's very precise.
That is very precise. And I'm not suggesting I am a doctor, but to me that's getting rid of a lot of people here potentially who may wish to use it. But anyway, you know.
I think the last interesting bit about that was that they're also offering what they call a pro cartridge. Basically, this is for healthcare professionals and they can be customized to their needs so they can use it to track whatever else it may be in the urine. Obviously, don't help with your general healthcare.
For absolute craziness, I won't lie. This is the kind of thing, if you published it on the 1st of April, you'd have definitely gone, not real. But on the other hand, I can't deny it's clever.
It is. And Withings are they're a good brand. They make solid stuff. I think I've got some of their stuff in the house as well. It's very well put together. The apps are good. It's a proper brand name. You know, this isn't a fly-by-night venture.
No, and urine tracking or testing is a very much recognized, you know, way of checking your health, you know, for certain conditions, you know, as you say, certain indicators that can be used. So actually, you know, this is quite clever because you can, I've had it before. I've known people who have had to have those. You've probably seen them yourself. You know, those like looks like a dipping stick. You know, you get a box of them.
Yeah. Take this away and pee in it, please, and bring it back.
And you dip it. And then the piece of paper goes different colors. And those colors, then very similar to the UI actually of this device, show you different elements, you know, of health or indicators. So, you know, so I have to say to you, I'm interested with this.
Definitely.
I clearly think they've gone a lot. They've had to have done a lot around the hygiene elements of this, and clearly, you know, it's heavily designed to stay clean and be, you know, pick up, you know, germs, what other rubbish that go in the toilet. And you know, part of me is like, I can actually see this probably being the start of actual decent things. You know, because we've talked a long time. Look at the Apple Watch, for example. You know, Apple Watch, we've got the O2 sensors in there now. We've got the ability to track, you know, your heart rate, you know, the fibrillation. You know, we've seen improvements around cycle tracking there as well, obviously, from a different perspective, which is doing temperature, as we know. You know, the whole thing is around blood pressure next, isn't it? Glucose monitoring. You know, these kind of things, you know, we're getting into a life now where actually people want to take control of their health, or at least the indicators of their health. And, you know, actually, to me, joking aside, you know, not taking that, sorry. I think this is quite an impressive bit here. I'll be really interested to see what else they release. You know, the cartridges.
Yeah, definitely. Oh yeah, because, exactly.
But it wasn't cheap though, was it?
Oh, I did not see a price on it. I imagine this isn't
£500.
Okay.
So 500, and it's in pounds. You could, it's so it's far 499.95, and you get one reader, one cartridge, which is Cycle or NutriBalance, that provides 3 months of testing, and then you have the choice to subscribe to automatic refills, which is £30, well, £29.95. Why not just call it 30 for monthly, or buy standalone cartridges at withthings.com. The professional one is price on demand. It doesn't surprise me.
Oh, yeah.
They'll be available at the end of Q2, I think was what I read. And then the other thing I read somewhere else was, this is made me think. So I had to think about this, right? I was like, well, this is great, right? But not to sort of to be too gross here, but you know, if you live in a house where there's a family, you're not the only person that is urinating.
Yes.
But apparently it can be set up to detect, you know, individuals.
Okay. I mean, how's it doing that? Is it a camera?
I have no idea. I really hope not. So because that was my question as well. Because otherwise, this is pointless, isn't it? Realistically, unless you live on your own and nobody else ever uses your facilities, it is the most pointless. You know, you have a guest. You're not allowed to use the toilet. Why? I've got my U-scan in there. And I'm like, so apparently it can detect individuals, which I suppose is probably not a bad thing, is it?
I presume this is going to be battery powered.
How do you change the cartridge or charge the device? Well, again, I was curious about that too. So apparently you simply remove the U-scan from your toilet, follow the cleaning instructions, like you say, get your rubber gloves. You unscrew it, remove the cartridge, you put a new cartridge in, then there's a kind of a little to and fro on the app, and then you plug in the USB-C, well done boys, USB-C, to the reader port, and then it, once charging off, it goes. I couldn't see anywhere though, and I don't know if I missed it, how long a charge lasts, because that's the other question you have to ask, isn't it? You know, because you know, I'm guessing you running a USB-C cable to your toilet is probably not advisable either. sorry,
quick charge, 150 watts to the toilet.
Yeah, sorry, I was waiting for you to bring this one up. It's brilliant.
Right, what have you got for us? Was there anything else I missed? Anything that took your fancy?
I had the aroma thing. So there's a couple of crazy stuff first that I wanted to talk about. One of the crazy things that we did talk about was the, we mentioned it last week actually, which was the Sony, what was the car called?
Oh, their car. Oh, yes. It was some silly name, wasn't it?
Oh, and I just, the Afila, that was it. The Afila.
Afila,
So I wanted to come back to this. So the Afila, apparently, the name was puzzling me. So apparently it's Arabic. And it's, according to Sony, it's numerologically associated with several kind of traits, companionship, grace, and prowess, social prowess, though also feeling, you know, the sense, you know. Yeah. So apparently this is a follow-on from 3 years ago when Sony turned up to CES with the Vision S. So this is a follow-on from that, which is now, following the partnership with Honda, we get the Afila. So as we talked about last week, it's a, you know, EV, electric vehicle, comes with an integrated PS5, because of course it does.
It's got an actual PS5 in it.
It does have a PS5, yes. It does have a PS5. We also mentioned that it was AI powered. You know, just there are visions of RoboCop and Terminator going wrong here, isn't it?
Knight Rider.
So So do you remember we talked about there was a huge LED panel, wasn't it, on the front of the car?
This is Knight Rider.
Yeah. So, and do you remember when we plugged in, it said it was charging, didn't it? You know, it said how what the percentage it was. So the worry that some people have, or critics have come out with, is like, will it be used for advertising?
Oh, and like, you know it will.
And they were like, could it be used to like basically reduce the cost of the car and you have adverts running on it? But that hasn't been a kind of given yet to be there. But yes, I just wanted, but it was a few other things there. You know, there's been more comments coming around about the AI technology, you know, runs the car, the self-driving capabilities, the whole of their entertainment you know, features inside were referenced as well. But it wasn't the only car that was announced at CES this week as well.
So
Arnie turned up.
Arnie as in?
Yeah, get to the chopper!
Yeah. Right, okay.
And he was there to launch the BMW D.
Oh, the D. I didn't realise they'd taken that to CES. That's the colour changing one, isn't it? It can change the design of the car, yeah.
BMW's D, which stands for Digital Emotional Experience.
Yeah.
And basically, as you say, has weird color changing panels all over it that was changes it now. So the original concept had e-ink, so black to white back. Now it's called the iVision D, and it has 32 different color gamut across it, including the wheels. You know, the kind of, I guess, the what would be the alloy. So Arnold Schwarzenegger launched it. He was also involved in a promo video as well. And there's a new film coming out called The D Movie, which is...
Oh, really? Oh, man. This sounds terrible.
So The D is coming in 2025, according to BMW. And they you know, they feel that, you know, this concept of changing colours to emotional state, you know, where the car is, will become normal.
They've got to change that name.
It just is, yeah, because...
Who wants some D?
Well, DEE, and I may be very wrong here, I believe also is a term used in the Far East for, how do I phrase this carefully, for those in the LGBTQI plus community.
Right.
It's a particular, you know, whether you are, I think, in same-sex relationship, female same-sex, or, you know, those of that persuasion or associate, or those that identify as, I should state. I believe a D is, you know, the more masculine kind of, I guess.
Right.
How you present yourself, as opposed to, I can't remember whether they're the males or they're the females, but either way, I've probably got that wrong now. I'm very sorry if I have, but I know that that is a term or a name that they refer to themselves as. So I'm guessing when they market that, this car in those countries, they may need to think about how they do that. But yes, so we have the BMW D, but there was also another one that caught my eye, which was a self, I'm not sure if this is self-driving or self-walking baby stroller.
Oh,
now
when I
saw this, I don't
know how I feel about that one.
When I saw this, I just had visions of Ghostbusters 2. You know the scene. Now again, you've got to be of a certain age. You've either got to be of a certain age, or you've watched Ghostbusters 2. But just for those that are going, what is he on about? Ghostbusters 2. There's a famous scene in that Ghostbusters 2 where Sigourney Weaver's character is taking her baby out for a walk, and the ghosts that are let loose in New York City. One of them is a ghost of a nanny, isn't it? Who steals the baby and takes it all into ongoing traffic. So this is the Ella, which is again, AI-powered baby stroller that has an electric motor. It does have self-driving, self-walking capability, but according to the manufacturer, which is Glückskind Technologies, you can't do that if your baby is in the stroller. So if you're holding your baby, you don't have to push the stroller at the same time. It will drive itself.
Okay, right.
Which I guess is handy if you're on your own and, you know, you know, we've all, those of us that are parents or looked after children, you know, sometimes you have that situation and you only have two arms unless you're an octopus. So it is quite difficult. Apparently it also has the ability to lull babies to sleep with a white noise generator, rocking motion. And like every good e-vehicle, if you're going uphill, it will assist you to push uphill. I mean, is this just a problem that didn't need solving, or am I just missing something here?
People will buy it.
They will buy it. Those that have more money than sense. I just feel again that this is, you know, I say, I just say it's, you know, a problem that doesn't need solving. But I suppose if you fast forward 100 years, they'll probably be normal, won't they?
Yeah, I can get the battery assist for pushing a pram uphill. I can, yeah, I'd pay for that part. Just not sure I need all the AI stuff that comes with it.
Yeah, I'd say we're heading into a world where, you know, at some point things are going to go very wrong. So I've got a couple of the crazy, because I was leaning more to the kind of more weird stuff. You've covered the good stuff, which is, I'm pleased you did. I've got a couple more of the other weird stuff just to go through.
Go on, hit us with it.
So do you collect trainers, you know, sneakers, your shoes?
No, but I know someone that does.
So how do you fancy the new LG Styler shoe care box, case, whatever?
Right, so is this some kind of case you stick your trainers in and it takes so care of them?
Imagine little glass boxes that you can display your shoes in.
Right.
This is now a way to show off and clean them. So you can stack them into different cases in a display. So imagine you a little glass box, square box, the shoes are in there, they've got a light on them. There is a deodorizing, what they call true steam nozzles that refresh the shoe smell. They soak up moisture. And apparently you can deodorize four pairs of shoes in about 37 minutes as well.
Okay.
I know there are people out there that collect, you know, they call it what they call sneaker heads, isn't it? Is that the right? I think that's the right.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You know, and it's a big thing, you know, it's a big, thing. If you're into that kind of thing, you want to keep them clean. So this, you know, the new LG Styler, I say the words just makes you go crazy. It is great. Apparently, they also can do color. So there's a full color UV protection. So, of course, you don't want the sun bleaching them.
Nope.
You can put other things in there apart from shoes. They apparently, according to LG, handbags, hats, whatever.
Right. Okay.
That does colors of black, white, yellow, blue, pink, and dark green, which is yet to be confirmed. And it is wireless. Of course it is. And it comes with its own mobile app. And they're stackable, of course. But, you know, it's just right. Nuts. So
this isn't something you buy and just put your trainers in to clean them and take them out. You basically buy one for each pair of trainers.
Yeah. You are, you know, this is right. Your... How much are these? Yeah. Well, there isn't a price. That I've seen. I might be wrong. And the notes I had, unless I missed it, I didn't see a price. So I'm guessing though, if you've got to ask, you can't afford it. Is that it?
Yeah, I'm going to guess that.
So there was that. I got one final one. I got a few other crazy ones, but the one final one, because you know we could be here all night, is So you know, what's the Chris Nolan Batman films? What's the final one? Batman is it Batman Returns? No, what's the last one? The Dark Knight, isn't it? No. Oh God, brain's gone dead. Anyway, you obviously in that film you've got Bane, haven't you?
Yes, you have. Batman,
who wears a mask, doesn't he?
He does indeed.
And he sounds like quite angry and distorts his voice. Well, imagine you could have a mask that allows you to speak as loud as you want in public places, shout down the phone, but nobody can hear you outside of the person that you're talking to.
Right. Okay. So it's like a sound concealing, muffling kind of device.
Yeah. So this is the voice silencing mask from Skyted. I mean, the company names are. I mean, these are amazing. So this is the Skyted mask, which not only is a mask in the sense of open air mask, it has a -25 to -40 decibel silent sound silencer. It also has a bone condensing microphone in there, and you basically can speak as loud as you want on the phone or whatever. I'm guessing it's your phone because you're connected to you, so you can be on a Zoom, whatever, and nobody can hear you apart from the alarm.
Wow. Okay.
I was intrigued by this. I mean, I was like, yeah.
And do you actually look like Bane? I mean, I'm guessing there's some big contraption around your face.
I'll pop you the link over. You know, they'll be in the show notes.
Let's have a look.
This is, and it straps on your face.
Oh, wow. It is very Bane, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, this would be quite handy, I guess, if you're in, you know, a public place. If you're, I don't know, on a plane, I don't know, maybe that's not the right one. You know, maybe at home, maybe, you know, you live in a house and you want to play, you know, games, and you're on, like, you know, we're playing multiplayer and you're shouting, you know, if you're one of those 12-year-olds, yeah, yeah, shouts down. I can see it. So apparently it uses the same kind of noise cancelling technology that you get in headphones, that, you know, so reduce loud noises.
Okay,
you know,
yeah.
With microphones.
Makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, slightly different. You know, there was a lot. I will say there was lots of other weird things. There were from aromatherapy shower heads to cutting boards with screens built in, so you can see recipes while you're cutting up the thing. Talking of Samsung, I knew there was one more I wanted to cover. I just remember I had it scribbled down. So Samsung released a what do they call it? A AI wall oven.
An AI wall oven, right? Okay, so it's one of those built-in buns, yeah?
So this is one of its new home lineup. So this is a... it has... What do they call it? It's what they call the spoke range. So it has a 32-inch screen with a four-door, what they call Flex and Family Hub, trademark, and advanced AI pro cooking for the AI oven that assists in producing meals.
Right, so but it's got a screen, as in a screen, yeah?
There's a full screen on it, on the oven, the AI piece of the oven, so it recognises. So basically, here's the deal. So the AI oven basically allows you to put stuff in, cater to dietary preferences. This is their blurb, not mine. So apparently it optimises whilst it's cooking. It monitors the food. If you tell it what you're cooking, using standard recognised dish, using a cooking mode, temperature, and a time the oven recommends, it then even will notify the user through an app about prevent burning. It's got cameras in the oven and the AI technology, what they call Sense Inside, that has burn detection and food recognition. And it currently recommends 80 different dishes and ingredients. And that's not really a lot, is it? Let's be honest.
No, that is not a lot at all.
The best part is you can integrate it with SmartThings Cooking and Samsung Health to provide dietary goals.
Of course
and work
you can. Right.
I mean, my God. I mean, oh, just, yeah. Please save us, somebody. Please save us. But yes, crazy tech this year's.
That sounds pricey.
CS. Of course, CS, you know, ran for, you know, the whole week, and there were many, many announcements. You know, we could spend probably several hours talking to it, but hopefully that gave you a little insight to some of the crazy tech and just mind-boggling announcements that were happening this week.
Yeah.
So then, Carl, I think it's probably a good idea to...
It is indeed.
Drag up the tech brand rumor mill and or dredge the rumor mill, I should say.
Yeah.
And have a little discussion about some of the Apple AR VR headset news that have dropped this past week.
We've got some bad news. It will not be this month. Well, that's what Gurman is saying. Okay, he's saying the announcement has now been pushed into spring, sometime before June's WWDC.
Go
on sale in the fall, yeah. He's gone to say that hardware is apparently already in the hands of a small number of developers for testing. However, the report says that Apple still has to iron out numerous hardware and software issues, which kind of leads us on to the next one, okay? Because there are so many issues, Apple are having to pull developer resources from iOS iPad 17 as well as macOS 14 to work on XROS, which is obviously the software powering the headset. So that, along with iOS 16 taking longer than expected to iron out the bugs and get those promised features out the door, basically means we shouldn't really expect many new features coming in the next version of these OSs.
No, this is the worry, isn't it? As you say, that they've been pulling development resource.
Yep.
So iOS 17, was it
macOS 14? Yeah,
14. I was trying to think of what the current one is called, isn't it? My brain has gone blank. What is the current version of macOS called? How do I should know that? I'm talking to
you.
You
should
Mac.
Do. You Ventura. Every day.
Ventura. So yeah, the sequel to Ventura. Again, you know, we're not going to see, as you say, massive spec bumps in those OSs, more of the, I guess, minor feature releases than opposed to the big name drops. You know, and I think, you know, the hardware piece from the AR headset being pushed to later in the year makes more sense given that Dub Developer Conference, you know, you're going to want to have selected developers, as they've done, go on stage. Yep. Tim will probably talk about it, announce it. Of course, it'll be the big hardware news, won't it?
Yeah.
They'll bring out a couple of developers to showcase what they've been doing with it, and then obviously invite the rest of the community to take part, won't they? Of course. And I think
of course, yeah.
Very similar. Do you remember when they announced, you know, things like the metal, you know, metal, the metal.
Oh yeah, yeah. And they had games developers on, didn't they?
Yeah, it's the same way of doing it, isn't it? Those sort of things.
Yeah.
Though interestingly, about you say about the AR, the headset, Tinks. You know, have you heard about the battery piece? You know, the kind of rumored battery.
Oh, this is its move to a pouch on your side, isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, that's not gonna go well, is it? Really, really.
No. I mean, like I see, it's got some benefits. I mean, you can have a larger battery. It's not more weight on your head. So, yeah, but I imagine that's not the way Apple envisioned this.
No, they didn't. And I think, you know, they have a worry here of this becoming a white elephant, don't they?
Yeah.
Because I think what we talked about before is, who is this really aimed at? You know?
Where's... People with money.
Yeah, well, outside of people with money, you know, who are you really aiming this at? Who is your target market? Because, you know, if you've just dropped, let's be honest, you know, what's it going to be? Close to the 1500?
3 grand.
Well, I was going to say, on the top end iPhone.
Yeah.
To go with it. Because you're going to need, the iPhone's clearly going to be an integral part of that setup. Then, yeah, it's a lot of money that's potentially out going to be there. But, you know, it does worry that Apple could, you know, the damage this could do to the rest of the product lineup, you know, going forward. But, yeah, interesting. But so an XROS now, isn't it? We're seeing more and more.
That's what we're hearing more of, yeah.
So XROS, iOS 17, iPadOS 17, Mac OS 14, yeah, you know, snappy namings carry on, you know.
There's a theme going there, yeah.
Yeah, but so the one thing obviously they were saying is it around the augmented elements for this headset as well, wasn't it? So Apple, the App Store app was one of the ones that's been rumored, isn't it? That's going to have a new AR feature.
Not necessarily for the headset, but that's when you can wander into a store and use the AR on your phone to just kind of point at a watch or an iPad or whatever and get more detailed specs and information. Yeah.
But also, you might be able to do that from the headset in the comfort of your own home. So, you know, you'll have the experience of going into the store, having the shopping experience without leaving the comfort of your, opulent palace where you live.
Because, your throne.
Yeah. No, fair play for it. No, I am interested, you know, I am interested, but I'm curious to see what this ends up being like. Will it be as rumoured? You know, will we get like we've had, you know, I know this sounds a bit disappointing, but like the Ian's Elbow renders, you know, a lot of those have been very close to the real thing. You know, are we going to see that with the headset or will we be surprised and be like, wow, did not see that coming, you know?
It will look pretty. I'm sure Apple will not make this look ugly. You know, it'll be a good looking headset as far as the giant thing you slap in your face is going to look, but it'll be nice.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Okay, what else we got there? Because there was some other Apple news, wasn't there?
We have, yes. So more news on the Mac Pro. Okay, so I was saying this to you earlier in the week. German needs to get his story straight. Because only last week we were talking about this, weren't we? Obviously, the Mac Pros weren't going to get the M2 Extreme, but they'll get the M2 Ultra instead. This would somehow allow for expansion capabilities. Now, he said back on that, you know, his prediction was that you'd be getting expandable RAM along with storage and other connectivity, okay? Well, he's now changed his mind on the RAM, saying, you know, it won't be possible because the RAM's on the chip. Well, we did kind of say that last week. I know we speculated that maybe it'd be some kind of tiered RAM where you'd have super fast RAM on the chip and then not so fast connected to it. But apparently, nope, you're not getting any expandable RAM now. But he has elaborated on some of the what he meant by the other components, which is actually going to be the GPU, media, and networking. So by media, I presume he's talking of things like audio-visual cards, you know, for film, audio production, that kind of stuff. He's also confirmed that SSDs will be upgraded when there'll be via two spare slots. And the big one, it's apparently going to look identical to the current cheese grater design. But he hasn't said if it's going to be smaller. It's looked the same, but we have the same giant size. Seems like a lot of wasted space. I know you need a certain amount of space to put add-on cards in. I get that one. But the current motherboard and CPU and RAM in the Intel one is rather large compared to the real estate needed for the Apple Silicon.
I just... I back to your first point. Gerber needs to get his story straight. Okay,
yep.
That, you know, I'm sorry, but you can't. One week is this. You know, that is, we are talking effectively the same machine now.
Yeah, and are you just guessing at this point?
Well, yes. Who isn't? And I think, you know, as we talked about last time,
yeah,
that who is Apple really aiming this at now? Because that machine, whilst exceptionally powerful on paper,
yep,
is not going to fill the space that those Intel Mac Pros have left.
No.
You know, no. even if you spec that up to the absolute limit, which, and it's a monster of a machine, do not get me wrong. If you know, if you go by German's point that there will be spare slots, you know, graphics, media, networking, how is that gonna realistically work, given that we at this stage in the game, there is, unless they are all Apple branded, we don't know if any third party, you know, bolt capability. You can't use, you know, graphics cards with an M1, an M powered Mac. You can't bolt in additional cards. You know, there, you know, external peripherals are pretty much in a short supply, are they not? In that sense,
they are. I mean, if you're going to do this, you need to be an NVIDIA on board.
Yeah,
because that's what the industry generally uses. Yes, they use AMD, but a large part use NVIDIA and CUDA.
Yeah. It's puzzling that they would do that. So unless they have now opened up, you know, the architecture of which, it, you know, I suspect it probably was capable of doing that all along. But on the other hand, is it really going to work? You know, we're doing exactly what Gerber's doing. We are guessing as well. I get that. But on the other hand, it's just, you know, where is I just, for me, I really want to know who realistically is going to. I'd love to speak to somebody who could tell me that this is their preferred machine. Yeah.
I mean, it might well be the preferred machine, but I think Apple have taken so long, and the previous Mac Pros again took so long to go from the trash can to the new one. You've lost so much of your audience. They've gone elsewhere. They've moved back to Windows because, you know, the people making their professional software have had to build a decent version of Windows, or they've moved to Linux. Are they going to come back to Mac OS at this point? No.
No. We know exactly how this is going. We know exactly how this is going to go in terms of the cost, aren't we, as well?
Oh, it's going to be ridiculous.
You know, this is an absolute you know, this is north of 10 grand. Absolute north of 10 grand. I really love the idea of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of dream machine. But personally, right now, I'd be like, buy a Mac Studio.
Yeah. I'm still just trying to puzzle how they're getting so many PCI Express lanes out here.
Well, don't get me started on that. Really, do not get me started on that.
Because I've got, obviously, the standard SSD in there and potential for two more. So they're, what, four lanes each? That's eight. I presume it'd be fast storage, so PCI Express 4 or 5. Then, what, 16 for the graphics card? If we're talking 100 gig networking, because we're talking professionals here, so 10's not going to cut it. They want to go for at least 25, 50, 100, whatever. Again, we're probably talking at least another eight lanes. And for the media ones, eight lanes again? This is an awful lot of lanes, considering we couldn't get more than two monitors on your laptop.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, how does... Yeah, and this is what really annoys me. It's like, how are they doing this? Because exactly your point there. If I can't run more than two monitors natively, how in the name of whatever are they going to be able to do that with? Yeah, but yeah, I look, the weekly tech rant, we always joke, but yeah, you know, this is the rant for the week, definitely.
So yeah, I'm very keen to see when this one will be announced and what is actually delivered.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Absolutely. I did see, by the way, one other rumor that I forgot to put in the show notes that I wanted to bring up, which was apparently Apple, and this is rumored, and it's unfortunately it's come from one of the tabloid papers in the UK, but according to the Daily Mail, Apple may be looking to put a bid in for the English Premier League for streaming.
Really? Okay.
So currently today, if you're not familiar with the English Premier League, the Premier League, which is UK football, not soccer league, right now, you need to have Sky Sports here in the UK, or you need to have one of the other premium providers like BT, isn't it, or something like that.
Yeah.
Though Amazon did, do you remember the other year, Amazon bought a load of games.
They did, yeah.
And they wrapped them into their package. Well, apparently, Apple TV could be looking to do a bid there for some of the games. Now, obviously, you don't buy all the games. You typically buy many of them. The three-year deal with Sky Sports and BT expires in 2 years' time.
Oh, right. Okay.
So Apple did apparently capture all of the, MLS, the American one, isn't it? Major League Soccer, what they call it,
yes,
isn't it? And they are available to stream exclusively inside the Apple TV app with a new service that I think was called Season Pass or something like that. And if you're not an Apple TV Plus subscriber, that costs you like $100 a season or $14 a month. And if you're an Apple TV subscriber, you get a discount on that. And some of the games are shown for free. Now imagine if Apple did that for the Apple TV Plus app.
Well, sounds considerably cheaper than what you pay Sky.
Well, I'm also thinking...
Well, Sky and BT, because you have to pay both of them if you want all the games.
Yeah, but from a subscription point, I mean, they would hoover up new subscribers left, right and centre. Who would then be in the Apple TV app.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, anyway, just that. Yeah, it was just what I saw earlier. I thought, I wanted to mention that. So, yeah.
Okay.
Right then. Well, on that note then, we will be back next week for episode 120. I can remember that one. You can find us on Twitter. We're still there at TechRant Weekly, at Weekly TechRant, and online at TechRant.online for all of our show notes and everything we've talked about this week on every other show. So we'll be back next week for all of the latest in the tech world, from breaches to break-ins to Apple, to Android, and everything in between. I couldn't think of something beginning with Z. Oh, Zebra. Zebra. and with that. So if you can find us, of course, on all of the major podcasting platforms. So if you like us, give us a like, give us a comment, subscribe, tell your friends about us. Maybe don't tell your friends about us. But we'll be back, as always, this time next week. So I've been Jay.
I've been Carl. Have a good evening, all.